Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Trade Mornings for Toyota. Certainty is a great feeling. Search Toyota Certified. And for Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL.
Thanks for your company. This is Trade Mornings for Toyota. Certainly is a great feeling. Search Toyota Certified and Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. Beach, we were talking about, which I've told, and I'm going to cop it for this, and probably rightly so.
Hey, run with it, come on.
Though it wasn't my name. I had the idea, and then it did get changed by our producer, Brooksy, who's still with us after a tough weekend as a dog supporter. We've told him that the Dells doesn't. So initially, and just to give this some clarity, it was 10, but I came up with 12. So we've just pushed it out by two. So we're going to get back into this. So we've ticked off Adam Chera, Peter Laddams, and Jeremy Finlay. So my next one for you, and the one that I want to discuss through intrigue of what will happen for this player, is Daniel Taulia. So delisted at the age of 29. I found it a little bit of a surprise, as the majority of people did, and probably Daniel Taulia found it a surprise as well. Where does he go and where is he best suited to?
Yes, 29 now. I'm sure he turns 30. He'll be 30 next year when he plays.
That's what happens after 29.
Yeah, I know, but in 30, terms
and then
of,
it'll be 31 the one
because
after that.
Because we know when you hit 30, Del.
Yeah. Oh, you're cooked.
You're cooked. You're done. You're on the 1 year.
Yes.
But it was quite intriguing. He's obviously missed a lot of footy of late, but they obviously think that the old discussion that you're probably not going to be a part of our next premiership and we want to develop our young kids is at Adelaide.
Yeah.
So in the whole scheme of things, they are probably, you know, a good three, when I say best case scenario, 3 years, probably maybe 5 years away from playing finals consistently.
Yes.
But
isn't there something in that, and sorry to jump in, where you do need an experience around them?
I'm looking at
Doudé's there, they've got a young kid, Nick Murray, and I think Jordan Butts, who was cooked by the end of the year. You know, honest defender, gave everything he had. I covered a game at the MCG. I'm trying to think who they played. Can't think of it off the top of my head. The poor man was exhausted, which isn't his fault. He's just not ready to do it week in, week out, and particularly when the ball was in their back half a lot of it. He had a lot of work to do. But isn't there a balancing act? Well, there is. There is a balancing app and therefore a tipping point of moving on plays. So the Taulia one surprised me.
Yeah. Well, they obviously think that they've got enough experience there to help with leadership and culture and development of younger players. So we know as players and experienced players and being in this position, being moved on or had tough conversations when you still think you got plenty left. But so he's still got a number of years ahead of him. And I think it's kind of obvious for him to go to a club that's in contention and that potentially, you know, now that Richmond have gone after Tarrant and essentially filling the void of Asprey, I think literally when he was, when Asprey retired and Taulia was told that he wasn't getting off another contract, Richmond was one of the first clubs that came to mind. Even Essendon, the connection with Truck was one thing, but just the experience in the back line, that's one thing they lack down there in terms of the Bombers. They've got young Zach Reid that will come in, hopefully play a lot of footy next year and develop as a key defender. But I just thought for the next 2 to 3 years that Taulia could fill a role at the Bombers, but then Richmond was one that was obvious. So
who else is in contention? So you look through the list really quickly and we'll go into a lot more detail. We've got plenty of time over the next fortnight or so. So let's go to Geelong, for example, who...
That was the obvious one.
I mean, the Cats have been pot committed and I've got no issue and I think it is unfair and unreasonable for those to look at what they've done over the last... I mean, even over the last few years, but you can go back 15-odd years. What this club's been able to do to... go against the grain, to go against what has been conventional and worked for other clubs. And I even heard Paddy Dangerfield say, it must have been after their loss a couple of weeks ago, said, we do things differently here. And I actually like something about that, that we, even though we look at list builds and they are often consistent, why not just go for it? Push all your chips
they're
in.
They did last year.
So you look at someone like a Lachie Henderson, who we love, and this is nothing personal against Lachie. He's been a fantastic player. And up until about round 16 was... oh my God, you know, this guy's going again. He's Benjamin Button. He's almost getting better. Had a tough finals campaign. Mm-hmm. He's part of a collective aging group that things naturally have to change. That is just the nature of AFL football. It is like few other industries where...
what is it? Six?
There is discrimination that you're just simply too old. Whether it could be as simple as that, if Henderson gets the tap on the shoulder, say, thank you, we appreciate everything you've done for this club. You've been a massive part of it, but your time is done. can you bring in a Daniel Talia to replace him knowing that you got 2-3 more years out of him?
So I'm glad you brought up, because that's for me, that's the obvious one. Because I think, like you said, they're pot committed that I think next year, they haven't come out publicly since that loss, their last loss at the finals. But Scott's comments post-game initially, he said it's hard to digest and comment. But the things he did say was almost to suggest that they're going to go again, almost like the question mark around us, whether we're going to go through a re-stump, reset, whatever you want to call it, not a rebuild. Let's not call it a rebuild, but it's not going to happen because of where the players are at, what we've got, Dangerfield still arguably, you know, in his prime, Jeremy Cameron, all those number of things. Hawkins still playing great footy, all Australian, we know that. So they're going to go again. So I think that's natural because I think Henderson too, again, respectfully, he's been great, but he's still slightly undersized to be a legitimate key defender. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think we all saw back into the year, and particularly in finals, that they were exposed.
Yeah.
About being lack of tools, although Stewart's not a tall, so he'll play as the third tall player in the high half forward drop off in a set marker. But Henry's developing into a key defender.
Yep.
And then they need to fill
he's a good kid, Henry.
A legitimate void, I think, because Henderson's still a little bit undersized and as good as he's been. And Talia is and can be that man for the next couple of years.
So we have some fun this, and we will continue to do this about the age bracket of any player. And once you hit that dreaded number of 30, that you are looked upon differently. And whether it's right or wrong, whether it means that you're entitled to a one-year deal, I think there's always exceptions to the rule. But I've done a quick breakdown of the list by age. And we will discuss this a lot more.
Geelong's
list by age. So Stanley, Tui, Higgins, Isaac Smith, Selwood, Henderson, Hawkins, Dangerfield and Blixarves are all 30 plus.
All in their best 22. Play every week.
Yep. As I look quickly through. Yep, all in their best 22. The only one that has been in and out a little bit is Reece Stanley.
Yep, but he just signed a new deal.
He's in their best team somewhere, and he has been during the finals. Jeremy Cameron's 28, Mitch Duncan's 29, Gary Rowan's 29. This is as it currently stands right now. Bewes, 27, Menengola, 29, Darcy Fort, 27, Cam Guthrie's 28, Luke Dalhouse is 28, and Stewart is 28. So we speak about being pot committed, and I've got no issue with this. As a player, all you want, you don't always get it, but all you want is to have a legitimate opportunity to win week in, week out, and then to win the whole damn thing, Beach.
Well, that's all you want. Just to play finals consistently.
But for this sort of group, it's more than playing finals. They rock up, they play finals. It's all they do. So, I mean, this group is clearly getting judged against a different criteria to a lot of other teams. They're getting judged solely on premierships. A lot of teams are getting judged on playing finals, winning a final, improvement. I think we've got six clubs that just need to improve.
The last few years, right? Because they have playing finals so consistently. Now, the knock against them is that they can't make a grand final, they can't win a premiership because they play finals so often. So I agree with it, but it's changed probably in the last 3 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because of grand final last year, straight sets, wasn't it, this year?
Who's that?
Geelong.
No, they won one this year. They beat the Giants. Remember the Giants with Toby not playing.
That was it. It's changed in the last couple of years. But players appreciate it more than most. And I think at Geelong, like most footy clubs, but there's two types of supporters at Geelong too. So supporters that have had enough, that we played finals, we had a chance, and Chris Scott just isn't good enough. He's not the right man. He inherited a great list in 2011 and they coached themselves, all those ridiculous arguments. Mm-hmm. And as players, it's like, no, like...
You can't take credit off a man. Correct. It's like trying to make a team sport an individual sport and saying he's not getting
it. The only thing that's going to solve this is a premiership, I think.
Yep. Okay.
And to get the monkey off the back. And like we said, they're committed to next year and they'll be thereabouts again just because of what they do. And hopefully for them, it's a normal season. They're playing back down in Geelong.
Yep.
A number of home games, which are so hard to beat. So they'll be making finals again next year.
I think there's a lot of clubs that could do with a Daniel Talia type. Now, for Daniel Talley, as you touched on off the top, and I agree with you, I think your priority is to go to a club that can contend.
For him, selfishly.
For him, and rightly so. I mean, you want to go to a club that you see a future at and an ultimate success.
Yep.
But then you'd work your way down a checklist and say, well, if I can't go to these three or four clubs, they don't want me or need me. I just want to play football because I love football.
Yep.
What about the Western Bulldogs? So I looked through their key defensive stocks. So Alex Keith, Zane Cordy, Lewis Young's in this criteria, and Ryan Gardner, who got dropped. They've also got Josh Shackey, but we've seen him play both ends of the field. Do you reckon Atalia could play there? But here's the little asterisk. We go back about 5 or so years. There was a little bit of conflict with his brother, Daniel Talia's brother was sharing of information, let's title it as Beach. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility they could put all that beef aside and all the stuff that's happened behind the scenes and say, hey, for the greater good and for the Dogs to take a better step next year and make up that 70-odd points, whatever it was on Saturday night, we need another key defender?
I don't think they need one. No.
Oh.
So just a squash theory. But they could probably.
Do you want me to take
aside.
Back that 3-minute spiel that I'm trying to sell it to?
Yeah, no, you can take it back if you like. But I just don't think that'll fit.
Let me put this to you.
Bulldogs.
I want to pose
what
this. What Let about me pose the Saints? This to you. No, I'm coming in. Let me pose this to you. This time next year, there's the grand final. The Dogs are in it again. Can Alex Keith, Zane Cordy, and let's say a Ryan Gardner, it might be an Easton Wood, whoever's playing that third sort of key defender, can that key defence line and pillars stop an opposition's forward line?
Yeah, well, as you
are
know,
they going to be able to hold up enough of a
well,
score?
This year's this argument could get real detailed a discussion, should I say. I think they can, but I think they need to tweak their defence in general in terms of how they defend. They're very aggressive. Their team defence and what hurt them in the final and has hurt them in games this year is the lack of pressure through the midfield. As good as they are in the midfield and offensively, that if there's not enough pressure on the ball, the way they set up behind the ball, they get exposed at times, playing up in front, really aggressive, that a player comes out, say, the front of the stoppage or running forward with time and space, that they get exposed just because of the way they set up and what they're relying on up the field, which is pressure and the ball to come in under pressure, high, long, rushed, all that kind of thing. So I think Keith and Cordy are capable of, you know, Keith, before he got injured, Keith, you know, 6 weeks prior to that, he was outstanding, playing on legitimate key forwards and getting the better of them. So he's capable of doing that. So that's why I don't think he'll add depth, but for Talia's point of view, it's like, yeah, I'm not that it's any spot certain and playing every week